This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a special musical feature from Endless Praise, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw.
And we're premiering a brand new segment on Wake Up With Hope. Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new hope-filled episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Today is World Post Day. It marks the anniversary of the establishment of the Universal Postal Union, which marked the beginning of the global communications revolution, which continues to this day.
Wow. You know, that we can communicate almost anything at the touch of a button. We can't deny the importance of our local postal services. Or the excitement of receiving a letter, a special card or package in the mail. I remember when we were getting to know each other, we would actually write handwritten letters. Can you imagine?
Yeah, we're that old. But anyway, it was always fun to get one in the mail, that's for sure. So friends, go ahead and celebrate World Post Day by surprising someone with a letter.
It's also Emergency Nurses Day. And we want to take a moment to thank all of the emergency nurses out there. We thank you so much for your service. So let's get started today by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1936, the Hoover Dam began transmitting electricity from the Colorado River, sending power across 266 miles of mountains and deserts to light up and power the homes of Los Angeles.
And just as the Hoover Dam transformed the landscape by harnessing the power of the Colorado River to bring light and energy across vast distances, we too can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the light of Christ to those around us. You know, Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." You know, the same power that ignited the early church is available to us today. You know, friends, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, He gives us the strength, the courage, and wisdom to be witnesses for God. And through His power, we can overcome. We can overcome our fears, and we can break through barriers and lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You know, the Spirit transforms our hearts. He equips us to share the gospel, and He enables us to live lives that reflect Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. This morning, friends, we have the healthy foodie back to show us how to make bread and bean salad.
This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're kicking off a brand new segment, friends, called Grace Points by Melvin Warfield Jr. And today's episode is entitled Broken Branches Still Bloom. We hope you love it.
So spring is here, and spring brings new life. And what's fascinating to me about this particular season, let me backtrack a little bit. Down the street from my house, there's a tree. And somewhere during the winter time, I don't know if it was the snow or the wind, but it got hold of one of these low-hanging branches, and I mean, it snapped that thing. So that the branch is literally broken and it is just hanging down. In fact, a couple of times people came to the house and they were parked on the street, and I went out to try and pull the branch the rest of the way off because it was just hanging, it was just dangling down into the street. But it wouldn't budge. I mean, the thing would not budge. It's hanging on by just a few fibers of wood, but it would not come off. So the other day, spring is here. I'm walking the dog with Maya. Maya's my daughter. We're walking the dog, we're coming back to the house, and I see this branch. Now the tree is in full bloom. Spring brings new life. But what's really fascinating to me is that in this tree with all these fresh new green leaves, this branch that's completely snapped and dangling and broken is blooming new leaves. Yeah, new leaves. I was fascinated. This tree right here was broken. It was snapped. And it's hanging down like this dangling dead limb. And on this branch that's barely hanging on, there are new leaves blooming. It's broken, but it's blooming. You know it's a whole word, right? John chapter 15 tells us in verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This message is so powerful for us today. And I just want to encourage you, because when I saw this branch and thought about all the times I've been broken, all the times I've gone through hardship, all of the times that I felt like I couldn't take anymore, the times where I felt like I was hanging on by a thread, barely hanging on. Any of you out there ever felt that way? That you were barely hanging on, like I can't do anymore. And then God shows up and God reveals his glory even on your most difficult days. God shows his power even in your brokenness. And what was so fascinating to me about this tree is that even though it's snapped and barely hanging on, it's blooming new leaves because it's still connected to the tree. It's still connected to its source. It's still attached to its source. I had to go home and kind of study and figure out why this thing is growing new leaves. And I learned that when a branch snaps on a tree, the tree redirects its resources to the place where it's broken, to the point where even on a broken branch, new fruit can grow. Did you know that when you're broken, God is redirecting resources to your place of brokenness? That God is redirecting his grace, his mercy, his protection, his provision, his presence. He's redirecting his heavenly resources to those places where you're broken. But we have to stay attached to the source. That when we're attached to Jesus, when we stay connected to him and we feel like we're barely hanging on just by a thread, God is still showing his power, glorifying himself through you. You can still bloom even when you're broken. You can still produce fruit even when you're barely hanging on. Because when you're still barely hanging on, you're still hanging on to Jesus. Where are you broken today? In fact, better question, are you still blooming in your brokenness? I hope that you are, just like this tree. It's good to see you. I hope I see you next week. You know, schedule's been kind of wonky lately, but spread the word. Share Jesus wherever you can. You all are always wonderful. Looking forward to seeing you next week. God bless you. This is Grace Points.
Now, don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us.
Well, we have to take a short break now, but when we return, we will have music, and later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be sharing an inspiring devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Have you ever had a rainy day? Ever experienced a dull day where nothing seems to be going right? Well, uplifting music is great for the soul, especially on those kind of days. And today we want to share a song with you to keep in mind next time you face one of those days. Endless Praise joins us now to sing No Fear in Love. We hope you're blessed.
To feel this
We now have to take a short break, but when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. Welcome back to our morning program. How are you enjoying it this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an inspiring message.
Hey, great to see you today. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written, hoping that you are well, hoping that your plans today take you deeper into the heart of God than you have ever been. They were calling these things flights to nowhere because of bad weather at the destination. Aircraft had flown in for hours, couldn't land, had to turn around and fly back. One flew for 4 hours to a certain city. Weather was so terrible, the only option they had was to turn around and fly 4 hours back. Another one, 2.5 hours. They circled and circled in a holding pattern and a holding pattern and a holding pattern. And they said, we're never going to land. The weather is too lousy. They turned around and flew back 5 hours. Imagine you're on one of those planes, 8 hours in one instance, 5 hours in the other, but then there's the time of getting to the airport. I mean, for some of those folks, it was 10 hours or so that they're never going to get back. They got absolutely nowhere, and they were no closer to their destination than when they began, even though actually they were above their destination for some time. Futility. The last thing you want is for your life to be a flight to nowhere. You don't want your life to be futile. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise man wrote, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what he did in that book, the book of Ecclesiastes, is he talked about what his life meant, what it added up to, the value that it had apart from God. I did this, vanity, futility. I did that, futility. I tried this, it was a waste of time. I tried that. It was just chasing the wind. That's all it was. How would you like to get to the end of your life and look back over it and realize it had been futile? I suspect there are some people who have to go through that because they never found a purpose. They never found their reason for existing. They never united their life with God and then did something with their life. You know what God is able to do, though, is turn a life around and make something great out of it. I recently was in England filming 2 television programs on the life and ministry of John Newton. Now, he was a character. And when I say character, I don't mean like your funny uncle who comes for Thanksgiving, tells jokes, and sings songs and leaps. I don't mean that kind of character. Newton was a bad guy. Newton's life is often boiled down to 2 things. One, he wrote Amazing Grace, and the other, he was a slave trader. Now, if that's all there was about his life, those both be pretty significant. One ghastly and one fantastic. Now, people wrestle with Newton being a slave trader, but when Newton was a slave trader, there was no one on the planet protesting slavery, perhaps other than those who were being enslaved. Those selling them into slavery weren't protesting it. Slavery had been around for thousands of years in virtually every civilization. So we want to understand Newton's context. The good thing is he got to the place where he understood the nastiness of what he'd been doing. He was raised in really difficult circumstances, John Newton. His mother died when he was young. His dad was aloof. He was sent to boarding school. The headmaster he described as imprudently cruel. But while he was a young man, later on he described himself, while a young man, as exceedingly vile. He was a bad egg. When he wrote in Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, he was not kidding and he was not exaggerating. He was not a nice human being at all. His life was going nowhere. In one occasion, for some time, he himself was enslaved by the African wife of a slave trader. That slave trader, who was his boss, tied him to the deck of a ship for 4 or 5 days while the ship was at sea. It's a miracle the man survived. But it seems the prayers of his mother and the pleading of the Holy Spirit got John Newton through that difficult experience. Later, after being the captain of a slave ship, he started to see the indecency of the whole thing. Then he was invalided out of being a ship's captain through some medical episode that he'd had. He had to get a job and figure out where life was going. His Christian faith began to grow. He read Christian books, married a nice woman who was Christian in her orientation. What if his life had ended there? What if his life had ended after maybe some episode on the high seas? Maybe he was a slave trader who never saw his way, and I don't know. Ultimately, it wouldn't have added up to much of a life, would it? It would have been a pretty sorry existence. He was a really angry person. He was hated. But God worked in his heart and turned his life around. What did he do? He took every opportunity that God gave him. He became a minister of the gospel in the Church of England against all likelihood. The church didn't want to ordain him. They didn't want him to become a pastor, but God opened that door. And then as a pastor in the village of Olney, or the locals call it Oney, in Buckinghamshire, not very far from Bedford, John Newton sort of revolutionized ministry. And one of the things that he did was he would frequently write songs to help his very poor and unlearned congregants better learn the message that he was sharing. He tripled the size of his congregation. He really was used by God to change a lot of lives. Things really started to turn around. Then, after some years, he was transferred to a kind of a high-end church in London, right next to the Bank of England on Threadneedle Street. And there, he really started to have a very broad influence. He was an author who wrote numerous best-selling books. And while in London, he was visited by a young fellow that he had known when the young fellow was a really young fellow, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce said, "I'm getting out of politics." Newton said, "Stay and be a Christian politician." So Wilberforce did stay. Wilberforce led the charge against slavery. Newton and others assisted him. John Newton had a second act in life as an anti-slavery crusader, and his influence really told heavily in the campaign to end slavery. So this was a life ultimately that mattered immensely. He wrote numerous hymns. He wrote "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken." Am I right about that? Let's just say I am. He wrote other lovely hymns. He wrote "Amazing Grace." He turned his previous life around. He became involved in ending slavery in Britain. Quite the man. His life was lived for the glory of God. It wasn't a flight to nowhere. Oh, not everybody can be a crusader like Newton. Not everybody can write "Amazing Grace." Not everybody can write best-selling books. Very few people can do that. But everybody's life can add up to something. It can tell for God. Yours can. It can even do that today. If you're in the service of God, you carry right on. If you're in full-time ministry, thank God for you. If you're in part-time ministry, if you're in no-time ministry, you can still serve God and find a ministry serving God in whatever you are doing with your life right now. God has a big plan for you to impact the world. Newton was a scoundrel. Now we know him as the one who wrote the most loved hymn in the world. His life added up to something. You take a life, even a broken life, you add Jesus, and now you've got a life that's not a flight to nowhere. It's not futility. It is meaningful in the extreme. How about telling God you're ready to do something great for him? Something small, something big, but something great and something meaningful that will honor him and bless others. Thanks for taking this time. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have a Reflections of Hope episode on the glory of the Galapagos and expert advice from our friends over at The Parenting Place. Plus, we'll have more music and John Peckham will share a devotion with us. We can't wait to see you tomorrow. And if you've enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed to help you begin or refresh your relationship with Jesus.
Again, that's hope.study. We know you're going to be very blessed and very encouraged.
And friends, we pray you have a wonderful Wednesday.
Amen. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. And today's promise is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
It says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful."
You know, that's a faithful promise, friends. When we keep God first and His Word, He promises to give us success. And that's a promise. Let's Amen. Pray together. Father in heaven today, Lord, we want to be true and faithful. And we know that without You, we can't be apart from You. And so we ask that You would fill us with the Holy Spirit and give us a new heart. Today, Lord, we want to follow You in obedience and trust. Thank You for providing us with guidance and with instruction. And Lord, we're going to trust You, and I know that we will be filled with hope as we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.